If you are looking to feel a little more comfortable in those summer clothes after you've pulled them out and shed some inches for spring and summer, I've got you. I listened and I have heard what you ladies have asked for, and that is for an advanced fat loss challenge. So we are going to kick this off May 6th through June 15th. It's a 6-week sprint towards summer kind of idea where you just want to be feeling your best. This is very seasonal, very normal to put on some winter weight. I do as well. And then to shed it off come spring and summer. That's kind of what our bodies were made to do. So come do it with us. We're going to have the 6-week group where we're going to have 5 workouts a week. They're all pre-recorded, so you can do them on your own time. We will also have 2 live workouts together in those 6 weeks. So that's a little bit fun to do with all the ladies that you are in this group with. We're going to do before and after pictures to add some feeling of a hard start and a nice finish of giving this 6 weeks your all. I'm going to give you weekly meal plans so that you can just follow the shopping list, follow the recipes that are designed to help you burn fat, lose fat, and keep your metabolism fueled up all day. You will not be hungry. It's absolutely personalizable. I don't know if that's a word, but you can personalize it for your needs, whether you're nursing or you're needing way more calories or you're a little bit more sedentary, need less calories. You can personalize it, but I will give you that framework of a meal plan to work within. So if you would love to join us, come do so. Again, this runs from May 6th to June 15th. This is for ladies in the Chasing Greatness group who would like a little extra something, the weekly meal plans. So if you're already in our Chasing Greatness group, you're going to get a discounted price of $50 for the 6 weeks. And if you are not currently in our Chasing Greatness group, you could either come join that first and then you'll get that discounted price, or I would offer those who are not in the Chasing Greatness group. So this is maybe my ladies who have done our 8-week fat loss program already and are looking for just something to kind of refresh, reset for spring and summer. The price option for you is $65. Now, how can you join us? You can click on the description right below this podcast. You can head over to my Instagram bio if that's simpler. This has gone out or will go out to the email list, so check your emails. And lastly, you can head over to the website and it will be the pop-up on the homepage. So I can't wait to start and I will see you inside. Welcome to the Healthy Catholic Moms Podcast, where we make moving and nourishing our bodies a priority so that we not only fulfill our vocations, but excel in our callings. I'm Brittany Pearson, a Catholic wife, mom, and personal trainer, and I'm here to help you build healthy habits that actually fit your life. I am here to teach you how to get the results that you want and maintain the results that you want without spending hours at the gym or meal prepping all weekend long. I understand. I am right here with you, getting my workouts done in the nooks and crannies of time, looking up recipes while nursing babies, and trying to prioritize my own health amidst everything else going on. But I have really good news for you. You can get the results you want in less time without doing hours of cardio and restrictive dieting. I am going to teach you how to use strength training and eating in a macro-balanced way to get you feeling so good in your skin, full of energy, and strong to carry out your life, okay? On this podcast, we'll delve into how to lose fat in a simple, sustainable way, what your workouts and nutrition should look like during different seasons of life, like during pregnancy and postpartum times. We'll also discuss healthy, quick meals and how to get them on the table, make food that kids will actually want to eat, mom hacks for making your day run more smoothly, and so much more. All the while with continuous encouragement to stay the course and live with discipline. This is a place where we're striving to steward our bodies well in order to joyfully serve. I am so happy you're here. Let's dive in. Hey there, beautiful ladies. Welcome to today's episode. Thank you so much for joining me. I am super happy you're here and really excited to dive into a Q&A. It has been a while. If you have any questions that you would love for me to do an episode on or just roll into a Q&A, I kind of just decide based on how lengthy my answer is going to need to be. You can email me, Brittany@HealthyCatholicMoms.com, or you can shoot me them as a message on Instagram. All right, so I will hop right in. I hope you're having a wonderful month so far, and I just appreciate you being here. So question number one is, what do I think of collagen as a main protein source? I love this question. I think there's a lot of differing opinions out there. So, as always, when I'm sharing mine, this is my own professional opinion backed by the research I've done. I always encourage you to do your own research as well. But someone that I, whose opinion I really admire is not the word, but I really factor in and take into account and trust. I've talked about her on the podcast before. Her name's Dr. Gabrielle Lyon. She also has a podcast. She has a book called Forever Strong, has a lot of research and a lot of degrees behind her. And she has talked about this before when people ask, like, what about collagen? And her answer is also my answer. I like her answer on it and her feelings on it is that collagen's great. So I'm talking about the supplement, like the powdered supplement that you might put in your coffee, put in your shakes. It's great in your overall routine and it's great for protein count, but it shouldn't be your main protein source. And this goes back to in the protein episode I did about like are all protein sources the same? And they're not. I was thinking about this the other day while I was trying to get to my own protein target for the day. And I was mentally adding up some things and thinking, okay, well, I have whatever amount in my ground beef. I was having a ground turkey taco salad, but I used like a whole wheat burrito. And then I put, this is a little fullness hack for you if you haven't heard me say this before. The more you eat, that's less calorie, the more full you get. So, like turning something into a salad just gives you more volume. You get more chewing for barely any more calories. So, what I do with taco night and things like that is instead of just having a burrito and then filling it with my taco stuff, I make it a taco salad, but I like the experience of eating the taco or eating the burrito. So, I eat it down like a salad and then once I get rid of a lot of the lettuce, I wrap it up and finish it eating it like a taco. So, little hack for you. Anyways, I was trying to mentally calculate where my protein was at for the day. And I, gentlemen, you can go upstairs now. This is being too loud. Thank you. They were working out. They promised they could. Well, I shouldn't say they. It was just my 4-year-old. Promised he could work out with me if he was really quiet. And that was clearly a fail, but it got too loud once my older one came down too. Go upstairs, gentlemen. Anyways, I was thinking about how the wrap counted it towards the protein. And then I was like, well, you know what? Not really. Yes and no. Because the protein that we get from grains affects our body differently and isn't as complete as the protein that we get from animal sources. Like animal sources tend to have all the essential amino acids, whereas the protein in like beans or grains does not. I also did an episode on how to pair your proteins together to get a complete protein if you're not using animal sources. But the easiest way to do this is just go right to the animal source. So, according to Dr. Gabrielle Lyon, the best type of protein is animal meat, like ground beef or chicken or something like that, or whey isolate protein, which is also from animals and it's from dairy. It is dairy. So if you don't tolerate dairy well, that's not going to be the fit for you. But if you do tolerate it okay, whey isolate is a great option. So, no, the collagen shouldn't count as your main protein source. Now, I've talked a lot about as well bone broth and how much I love bone broth. And that's a big source of collagen. I like to use that instead of a collagen supplement. While we're even talking about this, why would you possibly use collagen? Because we do know, and it's true, that it's great for hair, skin, and nail growth. So that's kind of, there's other things collagen does for you too. Like it helps repair tissues in the body. And that's why I used it. You might have heard me talk about this on the postpartum foods episode. And now I've just kept it in the rotation. I do notice a difference personally in my skin and things like that when I drink it. So I use bone broth. I don't use the powder supplement. I don't think there's anything wrong with the powder supplement. It just shouldn't be your main source of protein. So, if even you're putting a couple scoops in there to just get more and more, say you have like a one where one scoop is 10 grams of protein and you're throwing two scoops in, it's still not a complete protein in and of itself. So, I would recommend using whey isolate instead. And then just drinking bone broth is the path that I've decided to take on that. If you want to use both, you could use whey isolate and you could use collagen. And or you could just get the bulk of your protein from animal sources like ground beef and things like that, and then just use your collagen. Okay, so you have a couple options. It just shouldn't be your main source of protein. All right, the second question is, what is normal in terms of progress? This came up a ton of times, so I threw it in here. from our 8-week program that right now we are wrapping up. At time of recording this, the January round is just wrapping up this week. And this I heard all throughout, especially at the 4-week mark when we checked in on progress for the first time, was like, well, what's normal? We kind of want to know, you know, if what we're experiencing is along the lines of what we should expect, or if we're kind of behind the game, ahead of the game. That's kind of a dangerous question, I will say, because there are so many factors all the time. Age is a factor. The rest of our lifestyle is a factor. You know, are we doing just the workout, or are we doing the workout and we're super active outside of just the workout? Were we exercising before? There's, you know, if you're newer to strength training and you start strength training and you hop right into like a 5-day a week regimen, you're going to see progress pretty darn quickly. So truly, there is no exact timeline for progress. And it's not just a, like, you know, sugar-coated answer to make everybody feel good about their own progress, but it truly is not something that you can just say at 2 weeks you should see this. I've seen posts like that, which is like, at 1 week you'll start feeling a difference, at 2 weeks other people will notice, at 3 weeks this will happen. It's just not always a nice tidy timeline. So what you do want to look for, whether you are trying to lose fat, trying to gain strength, you want to look for non-scale victories. Things like, I just thought of this the other day, because for myself, I'm in a phase of fat loss, especially if you're a newer listener, you might not know that. I just had my fourth baby in December. So I'm still actively, you know, trying to lose baby weight, but I say that loosely. I am trying to pursue fat loss, but I also breastfeed, and me personally, this is again, another really personal kind of progress timeline here, that postpartum period really is, because some people shed weight super fast breastfeeding. Some people cling to fat. I am in the latter camp. I don't love that, but it's true. Just chatting with a client last night who said that she gained 35 pounds while breastfeeding. And I totally believe it. That is me. I actually have already dipped lower weight wise since I've, you know, been home and after had the baby, and then saw it go up again. Even with everything I'm putting into practice, fat loss style, because that's another factor for myself. But you know, that's a factor too. If you're breastfeeding, whatnot, lots and lots of factors, but you want to look for progress in some way and in some non-scale victory. So for me, the other day I noticed when I went to put on my bra, I was able to put it on a tighter, you know, band, the tighter fastener. And I was like, oh, that's a non-scale victory, because that means that, you know, some inches were lost there. And you want to look for things like getting stronger, more energy, pants fitting a little bit looser, like, you know, not leggings, your jeans or dress pants or something like that. And to try to even give a rough timeline, if everything's put into play, a lot of people try to piecemeal this. This is, I know, a little bit tangential here, but sometimes someone will ask me for a workout plan and I'm like, okay, great. And then I'll give them the workout plan, but I'm like, but I've still just got to know, like, what are you doing nutrition wise? Because, or vice versa. These things work together, and even more so, nutrition is the top dog when it comes to fat loss usually. Yes, you need to be moving your body, and yes, but if you were only going to pick one, say that you had surgery or you were in some way laid up and could not move, nutrition is still, you can still lose fat by modifying your nutrition and balancing out your macros, eating enough vegetables and protein. But if it's really, really hard to keep your diet as is, if it's not great, and then just add in exercise. Now, we all know the outlier, the person who eats terrible foods, but works out and they're fine. I think a lot of that is more attributed to genetics and, you know, other factors than the fact that they are working out a couple times a week. Unless it's the person who's like an ultra marathon runner, logs tons and tons of miles and needs so many calories to keep, you know, to keep themselves fueled, that they have room to play. These are all extenuating circumstances. Sorry. You tell me, I'm a little distracted. The kids are all up around me today. It is what it is. But if you have what I would teach as the proper nutrition parameters in place, if you have strength training workouts as your anchors, so that would be anybody who just did the 8-week program or is in this round, we're actually in a new round as this episode airs. If you have all those key pieces in place, you can expect to feel differently within about 2 weeks to at least start feeling positive changes. You should start feeling less bloated, feeling more energy. Like I said, maybe already feeling some wiggle room in your clothes. And you should be able to see a bit of a visible difference around 4 weeks. This is again, once everything's in place. In the program, we don't even get everything in place until about the second to the third week. The first couple weeks are really intro of teaching you a lot of things. So it's not necessarily like boom, week four of the program, but that actually lies more around like week six of the program. Okay. So around 4 weeks, you should be able to see a little bit of change. By 8 weeks and really by 12 weeks, 3 months of following proper nutrition guidelines and prioritizing strength training workouts, getting an overall movement, all these little parameters. If you're doing that for 3 months really consistently, that's when I feel like you can see the most visible change beyond obviously even more to go. Well, you could see even more at 6 months, even more at 12 months, but I think people are generally happy, quote unquote, with like, oh, wow, I'm looking a lot better at around 3 months. Now, I do encourage you to take pictures, whether you're working with me or not. It's not a vanity thing, it's a motivation thing that it can be hard to feel and see these results. It's really, really hard to look in the mirror and see a difference to yourself from, a couple weeks ago. We forget what we look like. So many people come to work with me because they think, or not that they think, they have an experience where they see a picture of themselves. And it's like, whoa, okay, it's seeing it from the outside that I actually realize I need to make some modifications. So it works the same way the other way around. As we're seeing ourselves make positive changes, it's hard to see just looking in the mirror. So take some pictures. All right, last question is 80-20 that you talk about the span of a day or span of a week? I thought this was a great question, and I am going to do an episode in actually just two podcast episodes from now, all about what 80-20 eating is. So I'll deep dive into that because I reference it a lot, but if you're newer here, you might not know what I'm talking about. And I do talk about macro targets a lot. So you might think, is that like macro targets? Is that percentages? What 80-20 is, in a very basic way, like I said, I'll delve more into this in a very short amount of time here. 80-20 is basically eating 80% of your nutrition from whole clean foods and 20% is treats and indulgences. So the answer here is kind of a nice, it's up to you. If you enjoy structuring your day so that every day kind of has a little treat, you could do that. You could look at it as, 80% of the day you're eating really whole, clean, good foods from the ground, from a mother. And so like animal products, dairy, meat, vegetables, seeds, nuts, all that kind of goodness, berries. You're eating that 80% of the time. And then say you have a cupcake every day, or you have, the quality of the treat can definitely fluctuate based on how healthy you want to be. And there's times I talk about this with clients where if something's really high quality, like dark chocolate, that's, very minimal sugar content things, that could even count in your 80%. So there is still a range even in that 20%. But say that you have like a little vice, like you love just a scoop of real ice cream, like a half cup of real ice cream every day. And it is full sugar, full fat and whatnot, but you like that every day. If you had half a cup, you could do that. You could fit that in. That would be like your 80% is really whole clean foods and 20% is your serving of full fat, full sugar ice cream a night. That'd be great. Another way to look at it is you can make your week, like your weekdays, 100% super clean, really good foods, everything I just talked about, whole clean foods. And then on the weekends, you get more wiggle room. Like then you have your, full fat, full sugar dessert, or you have some drinks or things like that. You stagger it a little more. So it really is personal preference as to how you want to split it up. There is no right and wrong here. And I think it is a little bit subjective. It's hard to measure, but I think if we're all honest with ourselves, we can pretty much feel out when things are way more like 60-40 in terms of how our diet's going, or if we're closer to that 80-20 or 90-10. It's a little bit, of a gray area, but if, especially if you kind of keep track for a bit, we do that in the program. We track in MyFitnessPal. It's a little bit easier to see sometimes. Like I was just talking about with the pictures. Sometimes you need that zoom yourself out of it and look, try to look at things from the outside to say, oh yeah, okay, so like 3 days in a row I ate really well and I don't really have many highly processed foods or anything like that. But then, you know, the fourth day I went out for a girls' night and I had some like nachos and I had some margaritas or whatever. And that would, you know, kind of be my splurge for the week. So then I need to get back on to pretty tight because that was a pretty decent splurge. I hope that makes sense. All right, ladies, thanks for bearing with me. I know this was a little bit more scattery than normal, not just because of the Q&A, but with the little beautiful blessings that are also distractions that were milling about me today. So you know how it is now. Like I just mentioned, if you're new here, I do have a little 3-month-old guy, and now my work time has just gotten narrower where it has to center around him. Like if he's napping, I'm like, all right, I will run down and record a podcast, and everybody else just kind of has to get on board with it and do their thing during that time. Obviously, actually, the toddler nap comes first. It's when the toddler nap happens to sync up with the infant nap. That's when mom's going to record super fast. All right. Thank you so much. And I appreciate your graciousness. I've heard from a couple of you being like, it's fine. We'd rather hear a podcast, you know, with baby sounds or with kid sounds than without it. Next episode, we are going to talk about 5 daily healthy habits. So definitely tune in for that. And then, like I mentioned, the one following that episode, we'll talk a little bit more about this 80-20. All right. I hope you have a beautiful rest of your day. I'll talk to you next time.